What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 163 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, August 20th, 2018, and with me today is Mr. Danny of the Donuts. How are you doing, Danny?
I'm doing pretty good, Ray. It's good to be back doing the podcast again this week.
Yeah, unfortunately, this week we do not have JR with us. He is busy with work stuff, I think. That's what he said he was doing. He's, like, just too busy doing adulting things. And
yeah, being an adult.
He just moved, and it's, like, he's got a lot going on, so he's going to be out this week. Hopefully he'll be back next week. But, yeah, it's just me and Danny today. We're going to do a duo podcast and talk about all things Standard and Wild.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Hearthstone's still in its fun phase right now, where things are, you can tinker around with decks and not get super punished for it.
Is it? For a while?
Yeah, I mean, for Wild, you're at the point where, like, the decks have been fleshed out. You know what around where everything is in the tier list. But I think that Wild just has enough flexibility that, like, counter decks haven't been explored. So that's the one thing that I really like. Now that we know that Druid is so powerful, everyone's searching for Druid's Kryptonite. So that's currently going on. People are experimenting with things like Anyfin Paladin and using, like, Prismatic Lens, Reno Mage, stuff with, like, because you're running Ice Block.
Right.
So a lot of things are being tested out, and it's not all of it is good, but there's just so many options that you can try out and so many different variants that you're really starting to see some wacky stuff, but, like, controlled wacky stuff, rather than everyone just putting Mechathune in every single one of their decks, like, day one.
I see. I mean, that's kind of what happen in Standard as well. Everybody just put Mechathune, and then that OTK priest was a thing for a little bit, the APM priest. And
has that died out, or is that still a thing?
I mean, there's still streamers that play it because it's like a, I don't know.
Is it more like a novelty thing now? It's just like, oh, this is something that's going on? Or is it like picking up steam?
It's more like, look at how fast I can move my mouse. Isn't this cool? Even though I have a 30% win rate. Look at how cool this is. And then,
so you're going for a highlights type thing.
I would imagine so, because the deck has not actually put up any real numbers. Or anything close to any real numbers, actually. It's just kind of been, I feel like it's been extinct, but the first week it got a lot of hype, obviously, because of the way the deck plays out and the way it looks. It's really flashy. But, like you said, everybody was putting Mechathune and all this garbage into their decks, and they were just literally just playing bad decks, so, and they were slow and controlly. So I feel like sometimes you can just end up getting away with playing the APM Priest the first few days. Like, yeah, it might have seen some success just due to the fact that everybody else was playing garbage decks, but that's completely changed now for Standard. But before we get into that, let's do the our weeks in Hearthstone real quick. Yeah, how was your week, Danny?
It was filled with Druid. That's all I can say. Literally, there's so much Druid on the Wild ladder right now. I can't wait to see the Vicious Syndicate report, because I believe that this might be the highest concentration of one class I've ever seen.
So, would you say that nature has truly risen against you?
Yeah, for the Wild, yes.
Greetings.
Oh my god, yeah.
That's, ironically not the case in Standard. Like, this week has kind of been the week of realization, where everything that everybody always says comes true, where it's just like, the first week, everybody's just doing their thing, and then after that, you just go back to the old decks and improve them a little bit, and then the meta doesn't actually change. Like, none of the new cards or the new mechanics are actually that relevant, and it's just the same thing that it was before. And I was really hoping for something different with the Boomsday project, but unfortunately, I was wrong. Mechanic, it's very seldomly played. All the old decks from last format are coming back with a vengeance, and obviously they're using some new cards, but it's not like, it doesn't feel like the game has really changed that much. There's maybe one or two new archetypes that are viable at a top tier competitive level total. Like this week, I was mainly just playing Control Warlock. I streamed it. I got to like 150 on stream, and then off stream I broke into top 100. And this was kind of before everyone started playing all the old decks again. It was like a little bit before. And I was playing against like a lot of druids, and I was kidding them with the good old diabolical project to hit off their Maligos or their Togwaggle after they reduce it. That kind of stuff. I was crushing aggro decks left and right, and I was having myself a good time, but then all of a sudden, some unfun people started posting, hey, I'm getting rank 1 legend with this here Questrogue deck from last format. All I did was add some Giggling Inventors, maybe a Lab Recruiter, and, it's pretty good, like, you guys should take a look. And then everybody else was like, huh, I too am getting higher ranks with Questrogue. And now, everybody's playing Questrogue, and now Q-Block's better than Control Warlock because it actually has the ability to pressure things like Questrogue. Like, when you get, you can get things like Skull into Doomguard and actually kill them, and you have Mountain Giant, stuff like that. Even Locke is just, like, kind of too slow to actually beat Questrogue at this point. So that's really not...
That's an accomplishment. It's kind of... maybe just because I'm so used to playing Evenlock and Wild, but Evenlock's a fast control deck.
You would think that... like, it is fast in the sense that it gets Mountain Giant early, but the fact that, like, you can just continuously bounce Glacial Shards...
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you can freeze it out.
It's like... you really don't have much else besides the Mountain Giant and Standard. Like, hitting for 4 with Twilight Drake is honestly just not enough right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have, like, the Divine Shield Taunts to stall. They have Giggling Inventors. There's just so many things that you have to get through to actually kill them that the Warlock decks that were doing really well in the first week, like Evenlock and, to some extent, Control Warlock, are just not good in comparison to the fact that Q-Block can just go, okay, when you freeze my giant, I'm just going to cube it and make a bunch more giants, or I can get Skull on turn 5 and pull Doomguards and literally win the game on the spot just because I got Skull. And you can't stop my Doomguard charging into your face. So, it's really sad and disheartening, but at the same time, it's like, we all knew it was going to happen. It happens every single time. It's just...
every expansion, yeah.
Every expansion, unless there's some type of huge nerf, this is how it is, and this is how it is. That's how it ended up playing out, and now I'm just going to have to grind Q-Block or play Maligos Druid or anything like that. Really, I did the Tempo Storm meta snapshot this week, the updates, and it's drastically different than it was compared to the first one. And the only new archetype that actually stuck in tier 1 or tier 2 that, in my opinion, is relevant is the Shudderwalk deck, the Tempo Shudderwalk deck. That's really the...
yeah, I think that was the direction that Shudderwalk was heading to once you started putting Kel'Seth in. I mean, you make the next logical leap, you're like, okay, maybe I'm going more for just a tempo build then.
Yeah. It does make sense. It's just like, man, is that...
but that's like, that archetype you could technically consider as being a part of last expansion, right? What Boomsday cards are you running? Are you running the Squirrel that gives it stealth?
I mean, you're running things like the,
I mean, you might be running Giggling Inventor just because that card can go in every deck now.
No. Well, yes, you're running that, but you're also running the, Overload guy.
Oh, yeah, the 4-mana dude, right?
Yeah. The one that makes sparks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you do have new cards in that archetype, but outside of that specific archetype, all the C'Thun decks, all the wacky things that seemed like it would be fun, all the mech stuff in general was relegated to Tier 3 and Tier 4. Mainly Tier 4, honestly. Like, mechs mm-hmm. are being seen in Baku Warrior, but that's still Tier 3.
Yeah. I have a feeling that just the mech concept in general is slow. It's too slow for the meta, where, like, you need to get something on board and then have it just stay there as part of the magnetic effect. That's why it's strong, but you really can't keep stuff on board anymore.
It's for a turn. Very difficult. I guess Paladin kind of is seeing play still, but it's just, I rarely run into it, and when I run into it, I'm like, nice. I ran into
Paladin. Yeah, you're happy when you see it, right?
Yeah, I'm like, sweet. This is like a mid-range mech deck that's gonna not do anything until turn 7, basically. When they, like, even then, there's a cool combo that they started playing with Meat Wagon. So you play Meat Wagon, and then that brings out the Paladin Egg, the 0/5 mech.
Oh, man.
So it's actually...
That's crazy.
It's pretty cool. The first time I played against that playing Control Lock, I went, like... the guy played a bunch of stuff, like, turn 1-2. I played Doomsayer, and then he just played, like, hits my face and plays Meat Wagon, and I'm like, wait, what? What is happening here? And then it pulls out the dinosaur egg, and then after that, he War Gears it, and I was like, whoa. I did not expect
and then,
this.
And then you silenced the egg, and he conceded.
I actually did. I did actually silence it. It was actually the best thing ever. But when they bring it back with Kangors, it's like it loses the magnetic. So it's like, it's just so huge. But I only was playing one silence. I just got really lucky. I thought that was really interesting. So I guess that's a new archetype as well. But I don't really think it's competitively relevant right now. It's just something that people are kind of memeing around with. Because
Do you think it could progress into something? Do you think that after a little bit of tournament play, once everyone's figured everything out, that maybe it slots in as, like, a counter deck or something?
I don't think there's any way that it can stand a chance against something like Quest Rogue. It's not going to beat Maligos unless you get a really aggressive start. Because Maligos can just refuse to kill it. Like, cool, you have a Meat Wagon. I'm just gonna ramp up, and then once I'm ultimate infestationing you, like, it doesn't matter at that point. Like, the game's already over. So yeah. Like, decks like Togwaggle and Maligos can literally just ignore the Meat Wagon. You have to get, like, Meat Wagon into, like, already having an aggressive start. Like, maybe get the one drop mech and then just,
and then go from there. Yeah.
Put on pressure, but I don't know, we'll see where the meta takes us, but I don't think it's going to take us into a place where a mid-range deck like that is really going to be something that can be played. Control decks are just not doing so well because Quest Rogue is so popular at high... At least, this is, from my perspective, at high Legend ranks. So sure. People listening to this might not actually see this taking place in real time. They're probably saying, Quest Rogue, I, like, play against that once out of every 100 games. That, like, I think Quest Rogue, I talked about it with Teray on the episode that we did together, which finally came out a month later.
It was fairly accurate to what's going on right now, though, because he was talking about, oh, yeah, everything's going to just settle down to what's currently going on.
It's ironic.
Quest Rogue is, yeah.
It's really ironic that, like, he says that stuff, and then it comes out, like, as it's happening in real time. But he also talks to the skill of the deck and stuff, and I think...
Do you think that the deck is just skill-based, or do you think that the deck is just strong? Because, I mean, the deck's been nerfed 2 times. Imagine if they made 5/5s and they did it on 1 bounce quicker. Like...
Yeah.
It's crazy how much the card has been nerfed. The quest for a rogue has just been nerfed 2x. I don't know of any card that has been nerfed 3 times in Hearthstone, but if it's this strong, maybe it has to happen.
Unleash the Hounds has been nerfed that many times. I think Unleash...
Has it been nerfed 3 times?
Originally did something completely different and gave Beast Haste, and then it was 2 mana... what it is now, and then it was 4 mana, and now it's 3 mana.
Okay.
So that's 1, 2, 3 nerfs.
That's 3, yeah.
So Unleash the Hounds is the only card that has been nerfed 3 times. Questrogue might be able to join its ranks if we see its popularity continue, and I believe it's less... It's, like, slightly more straightforward in the matchups right now, because... The matchups that you're beating, obviously it's still a skill-based deck, but I feel like you're seeing it have a higher win percentage at lower ranks. Because against aggro, you just play a Noyo-chan, and it's, like, very straightforward.
Off the Giggling Inventor.
Or the Giggling Inventor, yeah, my bad. And against control, a lot of the times, like, you're playing only 2 Chargers, you're only playing 2 Celsi deckhands. Most lists are not even playing Stone Tusk Boar anymore. So, against control, you're just playing Giggling Inventor, bouncing it, and then seeing if they can deal with that board. And then you just do it over and over again. So it's less about finding intricate lethals and killing them, more so as just playing Giggling Inventor, making a board, and then seeing if they can deal with it, and then repeat the process until you either have infinite value because you draw Valyra, or... they just can't deal with one of the boards and you just hit them. As long as you don't overextend, you're pretty good. And I feel like it's a lot easier to recognize that now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before, it was like the decisions were much more difficult of what minions do I want to play and how do I want to utilize their effects. Now it's just Giggling Inventor, bounce it, and then the other things are, like, slightly more obvious. Like, okay, he has a Mountain Giant, I'm going to Glacial Shard it. As opposed to, like, okay, I need to use my Chargers here, or I need to save them. Like, I feel like the deck is still very skill-based, but at the same time, a lot of the matchups became more straightforward than they were beforehand. Like, Questrogue against aggro in the previous meta, or the meta before that, was actually very skill-based, unless you just... draw Sonya, then you just win, because it's Sonya. But
Giggling Inventor just gave it that extra edge against aggro?
It gave it a different game plan. Like, the deck doesn't play out the same way as before. Or at least it doesn't feel like it does, where you're trying to use your, like, ways to stall effectively. Like, because they're pretty crappy ways to stall. Like, okay, I need to use the Celsi here to kill this minion. And then I, like, do I want to play the 0/2 Wax Elemental to, like, block this damage, like, kind of thing. Now it's like, I gotta get to turn 5, play my Giggling Inventor, and now I win. Because before, actually using your resources, it was like a puzzle, because then you also had to kill them. Like, that was the big thing against aggro, is, like, once you actually get the quest completed, do you have any more gas left in the tank? Or did you use everything trying to not die? Now it's, like, you just play Giggling Inventor, and that is your game plan.
And that wins you the game, yeah.
And even against control, you're just, like, it's no longer, how do I get through these taunts and hit their face because I'm gonna... fatigue out and die. It's I'm gonna play my Giggling Inventors, I'm never gonna die, and I'm just gonna bounce the Giggling Inventor and put up a wall every single turn, and then I eventually draw Valyra, and I play 1 Lab Recruiter in my deck so I never fatigue, and I play Zola, so I have infinite minions.
Infinite threats, yeah. That's crazy.
And even with Valyra, like, you can just go Giggling Inventor to Giggling Inventor, and then you just have a full board. And it's like, okay. like, no control deck's gonna be able to deal with that more than, like, four times. Which is, like, getting that out four times is actually pretty easy for
especially with bounce effects. Being able to bounce the Giggling Inventor is crazy.
Yeah, that's, like...
because it just keeps summoning the stuff.
It's... that card has just changed the way that Questrogue plays. And it's no longer, how do I kill them? It's spam the board until they just have no more answers and die. And against aggro, it's just get to turn 5 so I can play my Giggling Inventor and take over the board. And then, obviously, aggro's still a bad matchup, but I would say that Giggling Inventor has increased the matchup from what it was last format by at least 10%. Even though the aggro decks got better tools, like Zoo got new cool tools that made it a better deck, I think that Giggling Inventor is just so good in Questrogue that it's increased the matchup just significantly against all aggro decks across the board. It's... I don't know, man. It's impressive right now at high ranks. And I'm interested to see how we react to that, because Spellhunter, or Secret Hunter, and Death Rattle Hunter, and all these things I thought were going to be very strong. I think Secret Hunter and Death Rattle Hunter are very strong, but like, Death Rattle Hunter has to get a good curve to beat it. Secret Hunter...
do you think that those lists have been fleshed out, though, or do you think that there's room for improvement as people start to realize what needs to go in the deck? Because people really know what you play in Questrogue because it's been around a couple expansions now, whereas decks like... I mean, Death Rattle Hunter was around, but the current variation where you're running the egg in Standard is relatively new. So do you think that people will start realizing that, like, certain cards are better than other ones and then the deck will shift? Or do you think that we're, like, 99% of the way there with figuring out where the deck is at?
I think that Death Rattle Hunter and Secret Hunter have been the same deck. It's literally the same deck as last format, but people have figured out that the Spider Bomb is decent in Death Rattle, and Spell Hunter... I don't even know what Spell Hunter gained off the top of my head. I don't really think it gained much at all. Besides, unless you're playing, like, the Subject 9 package.
Yeah. See, I don't really know Standard Spell Hunter, because, like, Wild Spell Hunter is Barn Yashiraj. So when I hear that deck, I'm like, oh, I don't... And, like, we have Cloak Huntress that you could play, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know how you build that deck in Standard.
I mean, either play the Subject 9 package, which is Subject 9, to draw all your secrets, it's the legendary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus, like, Professor Putrefy or Mossy Horror. Like, you usually play, like, three minions, so that way your Stitch Tracker always gets a minion. Or you go with the Animal Companion card, the 6-mana one.
Yeah, To My Side.
To My Side, and it's just, like, straight up, like, Rock Delar, all spells, Spell Hunter. I think that that deck is... should be positioned very well, but I don't think it necessarily beats Questrogue, and that's a huge problem. Like, I think that it's very well positioned against the aggro decks. I think that it does bad against, or it does well against everything except for Druid, and that was fine before. Like, Druid isn't as oppressive as I thought it was, and honestly, I don't even know if it's tier 1 anymore.
Really? It shifted that much?
We still have Maligos Druid as tier 1 in the meta snapshot, just because people still think it's the nuts, but honestly, from what I'm seeing, Maligos Druid is probably the only viable one.
Togwaggle's dropped off?
Togwaggle's just dropped off, because Warlock...
is it just too slow?
Warlock...
is it just too slow? Yeah, you have the removal for that, sure.
Yeah, you're playing Diabolical Project. It is too slow against aggro, So what is it beating? It's beating decks that aren't really relevant anymore. Like, the first week it was really good because it was beating all of the crappy...
C'Thun Priest, yeah.
Yeah. C'Thun Priest, Warriors. It probably beat Secret Hunters. Or not Secret Hunters. The Death Rattle stuff. Like, Death Rattle Rogue was really big for a bit. I don't know. Kingsbane Rogue has been making a come... Like, made a slight resurgence. But even that, it's like... Giggling Inventor, GG. I don't know.
Yeah, Giggling Inventor is just way too strong. That's the card that... I think that that's the card that's going to define the set. You know how, like, Dr. Boom was GVG? Well, another minion that spawns three minions is the representative of this set, but its name is Giggling Inventor.
For real. I mean, they could... What if they buffed Mossy Horror to kill exactly 4/4 Giggling Inventors and, and Noyotrons, then maybe.
All you need to do is change Mossy Horror to read, destroy any minions that started as two attack creatures, two or less.
That could be a thing, but I don't know if it would be considered as started at two attack or less with the quest.
That's true.
Like, I don't know how that would work, but either way, it's just, I don't know. I want to play, like I said, I was playing Control Warlock all week, and I want to continue doing that, but I just can't anymore. Like, I went from, I queued up today on my iPad, and I went from, like, 150 to, like, 600 over the course of, like...
Oh, jeez.
It was so crazy, because it was over the course of, like, 2 hours at the most. And I played against Taunt Druid, Zoo, and Quest Rogue, and that was pretty much it. And I was like, against Zeus, I just got nutted on, like, Kaliseth on 2. I didn't play that many Zeus, but I just got destroyed when I played against Zoo. Against Taunt Druids, Okart getting out, like, you just can't deal with Hydronox once it's on the board. And most of the time, they get it out with Okart, so it's hard to diabolical that when... They can just pull it out with Okart, and even then, they play a bunch of minions, so it's like a pretty RNG to win.
Well, if you're getting tired of your meta, hop over to Wild and then come play Druidstone.
Oh man, it's just like
the Wild meta's absurd right now.
But at least you guys have like I don't know. I don't think Druid. I guess you're playing Solitaire on some level, but I don't know.
So. The big thing about Druid right now for Wild is that Starliner Druid is in a very similar spot to where Giant's Warlock was, where, like, there are ways that you can beat the deck, but you have to specifically build your deck so far out of line with what you want to do that your other matchups get punished heavily. So, like, every warrior deck right now is running double Dirty Rat, double Death Lord, and then, like your Reno Locks are running, every Reno Locks running Death Lord, everything's running Dirty Rat. So, what's happened is the meta has actually gotten greedier. So, now, right now, I was talking with Ray before the show, and I mentioned that Giant's Druid has become a thing. The nerf to Naga Sea Witch took it from being a 5-mana 5/5, everything cost 5, so now it cost 8, which means you can get it pulled off of Psych Melon. So now the decks that counter Druid are playing up against Giant's Druid, so you're pulling out an 8/8 with your Dirty Rat or your Death Lord because your opponent's just playing Giants and then Naga Sea Witch. And then, obviously, they're running Psych Melon, so you run Avion Akun. They can cost 1 mana off of that, and they reduce down to 0 all the Giants. And it's just silly. Like the meta has spiraled way out of control. I don't think that aggro is strong enough in Wild at the moment, because when you're playing Star Aligner, Star Aligner will kill you turn 10. And it's not even turn 10, it's, like, 10 mana, which is, like, turn 7, because the Druid's ramping up 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. Like, when games are ending that quickly, that can consistently...
Yeah. With a combo deck. Like, I can understand if you're an aggro deck, and, like, I mean, I've had a couple turn 4 lethals here and there with aggro, but, Like, when your combo deck is killing you on turn 7, something's up.
Yeah.
And then at that point, I mean, at that point, you have to have double dirty ratted them, because the way you're building Starliner Druid, if you pull one of the cards out and it's not Aviana, they still can combo you for 30. Now, they're not going to do that on turns 10. They have to get more combo pieces, but they're still resilient enough to be able to do 30 damage after one pull on every single card except Aviana.
That's nuts. I think I saw JR tweet this a couple days ago, or maybe even yesterday. It's just like, can we have a petition to rename Hearthstone Solitaire? And that's like, I don't know. That's becoming more and more relevant, at least in Wilds.
Yeah.
In Standard to some degree as well. Like, Quest Rogue is...
Well, I think they need to introduce some sort of mechanic that interacts with your opponent. Like, I mean, I've been talking with some players in Wild, and they said, hey, we need more ways to interact with your opponent. And I'm like, well, imagine how Standard feels right now. Like, the only card you have is Demonic Project, or whatever that is, in Warlock.
Yeah, it's like... If like, Quest Rogue is playing... Solitaire with itself, while also obviously it's trying to not die, but when you're playing against a deck like Quest Rogue, if you're not playing aggro and killing them, it just feels bad to watch them combo off, and it just feels like you're just sitting there watching somebody play Solitaire. That's actually just what it is, and it's just less so that with Druid for some reason, like the way that I feel about it. Because they have to,
It's at least harder in Standard, right? You have to wait until they play their 7-mana dude, whatever it is, and then at that point you're like, okay, so their combo's coming sometime soon, but, like, you're given forewarning, at least, where it's like, okay, I need to kill him over three turns or something.
Yeah, it's just like... I mean, I guess Druid's, like, similar, but it doesn't feel as bad when it happens to you. As Druid, the only time it feels bad is when they get weapon and you can't answer it, but like at least you have counterplay. Like, Maligos Druid isn't that great if you can kill their weapon, because right now they're not playing the 7-mana reduce card.
Oh, they aren't? Okay, that's good. I think that card is horrible.
They're not playing that, but they're still playing weapon. So, like, if you really want to, like, if you feel like the deck is that good... You can just play weapon removal, kill their weapon, and then their burst range is, like, 12 in one turn. Which, in my opinion, is fair. I think that that's fine. Like, I think Maligos Druid of the previous format was fine. Where it's, like, they can deal 12, and then, like, they have to chip away at the rest of your health some other way. I didn't feel like that was too oppressive, or whatever you want to call it. It's pretty similar to this format. The deck's literally the same thing, except now you have Floop, which I don't feel like I'm play. It's like Solitaire when they do that. You're just like, when they play Maligos and pass, you're just like, oh boy, I know what's coming. Because that's like the alternative. If they destroy your weapon, you just play Maligos. If it gets answered, then you play Floop, and then you swipe them, and then you double moonfire them, and it's like a bit more burst. So,
but still, that's not a ton of burst with Floop. Like, the best you can do is Floop, swipe, double moonfire. That's still what?
Yeah,
that's 9, 16, 20 something damage.
Yeah,
it's not an OTK. They have to look for other ways to deal damage.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel as bad as just watching Quest Rogue like do Quest Rogue stuff for whatever reason. I don't know why that deck...
Because you can play around that, right? Where if you're ahead enough on board, you can go in and, like, I don't know, if you're warrior, you can armor up. You can do things where it's like, oh, that damage isn't gonna matter because I can kill you the turn after or something. With Quest Rogue, it's like, a lot of the stuff they do is from hand. That's one of the things that you start realizing, oh, they're just gonna have endless threats that are coming out of hand, where a lot of the other stuff you can just interact with.
Right. Yeah. That's true. Like you said, armor's a big thing, and you could just be at 30 life and then they can't kill you as well. Like, I feel like every class can do that to some extent, unless you're like Warlock, which obviously just has Diabolical Project as an out. Like, Paladin could
heal. Isn't it Demonic Project?
Oh, it might be Demonic. I've been calling it Diabolical Project since it came out, so...
Because it's diabolical when you're playing a combo deck.
Oh, gosh. Oh. Dude, Quest Rogue is frying my brain right now, I swear to God. But yeah. It just doesn't feel as fun, and I was hoping for a more board-centric metagame when I saw mechs. That's really what I want for the game. I don't know if that's good, but I feel like when the Hearthstone team said that they're nerfing Leeroy because they felt like it was non-interactive, they deviated from that that stance that they took so long ago.
I don't think they realized how good the Rogue Quest was. Like, I mean, two nerfs later, and here we are. What would you do to nerf that a third time so it's just unplayable? But I mean, you gotta keep it somewhat realistic so that all the people who have it aren't disappointed. I mean, they're all going to be disappointed when it's nerfed, but you can't just, like, nuke it from orbit, I don't think, at this point. Because they've tried so hard to keep it fairly consistent.
I don't know, I would just do something, like, completely different. Like, I would just be like, whenever you play a minion, it gets +2/+0 in rush until the end of the turn or something. Like,
that's not bad. Yeah.
Like make it whatever you want to do, but don't make it like I just don't go down another, like, don't make them 3/3s, because that's just, like, I don't know, you just seem like an you seem like an idiot at that point.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, right? Make them 1/1s.
you just seem so dumb if you make them, like, 3/3s. I don't know why. But, like, you could up the number of...
Do you think the quest would... You think it would actually nerf it? You think you could still play it with 3/3s?
I don't want to think about that.
I think that it could be as... I mean, it's not going to obviously be as strong, but I think it would still see play at 3/3s.
I don't want to think about that, man. I just don't. That would be insane, and, somehow it would not even surprise me at that point. But
I wouldn't be surprised if we see that in our nerf coming up in 3 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, they've nerfed
on... What are your front runners for the nerfs coming out? It's going to be coming out in 3 weeks, so it's we're a little bit ahead of time. But do you think there are any other problematic cards in Standard?
Problematic... I think... that everything seems like it's pretty okay. I don't know if Togwaggle would actually become problematic or not. I really don't think it would. Maybe Soul Infusion. Like, maybe Zoo would just be too good, but... that's... I don't know. Like...
I think they might use the nerfs a little bit less for this card is broken and more just to change the meta at some point where they're like, we don't like this deck, and they nerf a card. As kind of like, I mean, Q-Block was a different story. Those cards were broken, but maybe they do something where it's like they take some deck that they don't like and then they just remove it.
I think that the most impactful cards in the meta are obviously the quest, the Rogue Quest, Carnivorous Cube, and I don't know. I feel like Carnivorous Cube is a key part of so many top tier decks right now that if they took that away or nerfed it, the whole meta would probably change. Maybe they might have to adjust Shudderwalk or something in Shudderwalk. I don't really know what they would adjust in Shudderwalk. It either has to be Shudderwalk or I don't know. I think Shudderwatch.
They're not even fine. They're not even running Grumble anymore, because I used to think, hey, you can use Grumble and nerf that if you had to, but Grumble's not even being played in some of these lists.
Yeah, it's wild, man. Well, it's standard, but it's it's crazy. It's crazy. If they nerf Carnivorous Cube, it's like Cube Lock's not an issue. The weapon's not an issue. Like, what is an issue? And really, the only thing that makes the game unfun is just the combo OTK, like, aspect. Like, I want the games that I play in Hearthstone to feel, like, more board-oriented. Like, I want to make trades or, you know what I mean? Just do what the game was designed to do.
Like, yeah, you don't want to just be like, oh, who can gather their cards first and then kill each other from hand? Like, we're not playing Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah. Actually, I think Nourish, if they nerfed Nourish's mana gain, just made Nourish, like, draw cards or something. I mean, that wouldn't be right, but I don't know. I feel like if they nerfed Nourish, so that way Wild Growth was still a thing, so that way, like, aggro decks could still utilize it, but they nerfed Nourish or Ultimate Infestation, that could...
I think Ultimate Infestation is a fine card as is. It's a good top end for Druid. It's not broken, but yeah, it's just really strong. We've been discussing nerfs for Druid and Wild for a while. And I mean, if you want to nerf the current iterations of Druid, you want to get rid of like of Avion Akun. You got to nerf one of them so that they're not drawn from Psych Melon. But
for Standard, I think it's Nourish that would make the most impact. Like, just getting rid...
That would make a big impact in Wild, too. Because we're thinking that a lot of the stuff that they introduce... There's just so many good armor and draw cards. Like, Ferocious Howl, Branching Paths. There's a lot of cards that do the same thing. And that's exactly what Druid's trying to do. So, as long as those cards are still around, you're still going to be able to make controlling Druids. And, I mean, we're always going to have those cards. So, controlling Druids always going to be a thing. The question is, how do you win a game? And in Wild, it's either combo or it's Jades. And you can combat Jades, like, you can tech Geist in.
Mm-hmm.
But combo decks, like, Dirty Rat becomes a thing, but at some point there's just a critical mass of combo pieces that Dirty Rat doesn't matter unless you specifically hit Aviana. So at that point it feels bad. And then, I don't know, I think that Psych Melon was just a dumb print on Blizzard's part. I think they're like, in Standard, like, they're like, hey, we see this Togwaggle Druid deck going on in Wild, and it's pretty cool. Let's see if we can force feed it into Standard. And then they're like, oh crap, we just made the strongest deck in Wild even stronger, and we made an even worse thing. Like, I was on the Into the Wild podcast last week. They had me on talking about Starliner Druid. And I was like, there's no chance in hell Blizzard went through and tested Starliner Druid for Wild. No one even had the thought to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if they test Wild, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, we didn't think so either. That was the point that was brought up to counter that. No one tests Wild. But, I mean, at least, like, Chalky's on the balance team. And he could at least look at the metagame and be like, this Naga Giant thing seemed busted, and like develop it after two or three games played with it. So,
man, I wish.
I mean, at least I know Chalky has some sort of sense in him, and he's like, okay, he would realize, hey, we probably can't print this.
I guess that depends if they plan on actually utilizing Wild, though. In some way.
I mean, they probably don't. But I mean, at certain points, you realize they do. Kind of not, they don't want things to break in Wild. Like, they nerfed Dreadsteed, and then they did the priest bot that heals you up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that, like, deals damage for everything that you get healed up.
Shadowboxer.
Yeah, Shadowboxer. So, at least they're like, okay, at least we won't break the game, so the game, like, physically breaks. But, like, the combos are gonna be broken.
Yeah, I feel like the Druid is just, like, not, like, the aggro druids and the mid-range druids are just not good enough because the combo druids are just better, and it seems like the same thing in Wild, and I feel like if you just get rid of Nourish, it kind of is, it stunts both of them. Like, I think that is honestly the biggest card, because I don't think Ultimate Infestation is too broken. I think that's actually the perfect Druid card. But I feel like being able to play it on, like, turn 6 or something, that's what makes it broken. So, if you just get...
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that you can't really change Wild Growth. That is, like, too integral to the class to change.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to change Wild Growth, because I think that being able to ramp up into mid-range threats is very important. But being able to ramp up into, like, 10 mana that early just seems a bit much to me. I don't know. I think
it's weird, though. Nourish wasn't run for a while. For a really long time in the early days of Standard, you were playing Ancient of Lore instead of Nourish. I don't remember playing Nourish, like, for the first two or three expansions.
You were playing Nourish when
were you playing that? I don't remember playing Nourish at that point. I remember that when Ancient of Lore was nerfed, Nourish became a lot better, because you started playing it more for its draw effect rather than just the... Because you only put it in the deck for ramp at that point, because Ancient of Lore was just so good. And then it became more versatile because it was the only option to draw cards.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, yeah, when, like, Force Roar was, really big?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that. That's true, you're right. I actually played... before people even played Wild Growth. Like, there was a point where Wild Growth wasn't even played, which was that was crazy to me. That took a quick minute. And then Wild Growth into Chillwind Yeti was all the rage.
Innervate Piloted Shredder.
That was a while later, dude. I remember when everybody was like Naxx kept getting pushed back and stuff. Like, I played before, like, Naxxramas was the thing.
Yeah, those were... And then everyone was like, Naxx is out! I remember the classic meme.
I actually really enjoyed Adventures, because every week the metagame would change for, like, a whole month. Like, when they would drip...
Yes! Like, they would get new cards, and everyone would try fitting them in the old decks, and maybe new decks would come out, and, like, the meta would consistently evolve for an entire period.
I feel like that... I don't know why they took that away. That was actually just so fun.
I think it would be cool if they did that with an entire expansion, right? Where they're like, we have 130 cards, and we're going to release, 20 of them for 5 weeks. And now that doesn't add up to 130, but you know what I mean.
No, I feel you. I get what you mean. That would be pretty cool, actually. And I feel like that would be... interesting, because a lot more unplayable cards would see play. I remember testing just the most terrible cards from, like, the adventures, just because they were new. I mean, people... there was a time where, for Un'Goro, the Adapt 2 guy, the 7-mana Adapt 2 dinosaur thing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, they gave that out early, right?
They gave that out early, and people were actually playing that in decks, even though it's just... absolute garbage. The fact that it was a new card that was playable made people fit it into decks, and I think that is really cool.
They did that with Marin most recently, right? You put Marin and you get the treasure chest.
Oh yeah, a lot of people were playing like OTK Marin the Fox, like in Priest, yeah. Like Steel. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because
yeah.
Potion of what are the Steel, the 1-mana Steel
Madness,
stuff.
Potion of Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
They're coming out with... the content for this expansion hasn't come out yet. I think it's coming out this week.
I think it came out today.
Oh, did it come out today? Oh, well, I know what I'm going to be doing after this.
It's either today or tomorrow, actually. Hold on, let me...
Yeah, it's all those, like, puzzles, right? Where it's the lethal puzzle, clear the board, mirror your opponent, and it's all a bunch of really cool puzzles. And this is something that Hearthstone's been needing for a really long time, because you always used to see on Reddit those, hey, find the lethal here, and, like, it would be ridiculous board states.
Yeah, I have a friend that's like that, that just has just these ideas where he'll just play against the innkeeper just to see if they'll work, and he'll spend, like, hours playing against the innkeeper to set up the perfect scenario. And then he'll, like, post it and be like, yo, can you guys solve this puzzle that I made? And I'll be like, well, like, I guess I, like, I don't know. I feel like...
It just shows how strong the Hearthstone, like, engine is, though. That you can go and do things like that.
Yeah, and then there was that one time the guy just created, like, a game state that lasted for 40 hours with arcane missiles and, like, a bajillion Maligos and Valen. I don't know if you remember that, but that was, like, huge. And he, like, streamed it, and it was just...
I do not remember that.
That was pretty interesting.
I think they changed it at some point now. Once you go below, like, negative 15 health, the game automatically ends. They changed that with C'Thun, I think, just because they were afraid that people were going to make really big C'Thuns and make you watch yourself die.
Hmm. Hearthstone chat. The Puzzle Lab. Okay, no, they just did the tour of the Puzzle Labs today. Tomorrow is,
Tomorrow's release day?
Yeah. That's, and you get a cool card back for it. What is, yeah, that's it, right? You just get the cool card back, and then, you might get a legendary something.
I always do that just for completionist's sake, but I don't know. I find that those are pretty good. Like, the Lich King battles were fun. I like that during Frozen Throne, where, like, you had to beat the Lich King with everything, and in Mage, they set you to one health. That was my favorite one.
I remember, do you remember the GamesCon thing where, like, the Lich King had, like, a bajillion health, and everybody had to, like, join forces to beat it?
Yeah, I don't remember what... I saw that, and I saw everyone streaming it, but I never saw if everyone beat the Lich King or not. Did the Lich King survive?
I have no idea. I just remember watching Trump, like, play Hunter and restart every game until he got the hero, and then just build beasts for hours. I didn't actually watch him for hours, but that's all he was doing. He was just sitting down, and he was just building beasts. Until he died, eventually. It was a sight to see, but I probably won't actually play the Puzzle Lab because I'm like the Scrooge when it comes to single player, free to play content. I'm just like, no, I gotta climb the ladder, bro. I ain't trying to waste no time with this.
Yeah.
These puzzles.
Well, I'm the middleman. I'm the middleman in between you and JR, Mr. Dungeon Run King.
I
bet JR is gonna play the crap out of it.
I mean, I hope so. That's what a lot of players look forward to, man, is like the casual stuff. Like, whenever I play a game for fun or like start out a game,
it's not Hearthstone.
It's not Hearthstone. Not right now. When I did start out playing Hearthstone, I did more of that stuff, though. Like, I did Arena a lot more. Like, I don't play Arena at all now. I probably haven't played Arena in, like, years. But when I first played Hearthstone, I played a lot of Arena. I did all of, like, the free-to-play stuff that they had. I think if Hearthstone gave out, like, more packs, like, for a pack for every part of the puzzle that you complete, I don't know if they do, they might, then that would be really cool. Like, I would do that if I didn't have a full collection and stuff like that, but for me it's just a waste of time. There's no joy in this game for me anymore until Quest Rogue leaves. if they nerf Quest Rogue, I will play the Puzzle Lab. I still have...
Wait, no, you won't. Once Quest Rogue is nerfed, you're going to immediately go to the ladder and be like, okay, what can I play now? You should do it while Quest Rogue is still a thing.
No.
That'll keep your mind off of Quest Rogue.
No, I got to get it finished this month, bro. I got to climb NA, get to top 100, then I got to go to EU, get top 100, and then, you know how it goes.
Yeah, I feel you on that one.
But
it's kind of why I do Wild, so I can meme around and not worry about getting a finish.
Yeah, I wish I was like that, but then at the same time, I actually just really enjoy the satisfaction of actually getting there and, like, being a pro player going to events and stuff. is very rewarding when you're at the when you're at the points where like it's supposed to be rewarding, like going to an event and like winning or just doing really
well. And you're like, all this time that I put into it really paid off.
Yeah. Or just like getting a high ladder finish when you need it. It's like, it's worth it at the end of the day, but at times like this where you're like grinding, you're just like, oh my god, another quest, Rogue, please make it stop. I can't even pray to Ben Brode anymore. What do you want from me, God? Oh, but yeah, I don't know. I still have that quest though from the dungeon monster or whatever. Like, I have two quests that I cannot X out of, and they tell me to do things like defeat dungeon monsters and stuff, and it's, I'm just like, no, I will just accept never getting gold. So hopefully once this one comes out, they'll either let me reset all of my quests, or I'm just never getting a quest again in my life. Like, I'm just never gonna get gold in the game.
You've probably lost so much gold, because I don't really pay attention to quests much, but I just randomly playing decks get those fulfilled all the time. You're missing out on so much gold, Ray.
I know. I know. It kills me inside, because gold, as weird as it sounds, like, Hearthstone gold does equal money on some at some point, right? Like, pretend I missed out on like 5,000 gold. That's 50 packs. That's like,
yeah, that's $50.
That's like $50, even though it's
here's the plan. Next time you're going to the bathroom, pull out your phone and play dungeon.
Play ladder.
No, you don't play ladder on the toilet. You play dungeon run on the toilet.
Every time I go to the bathroom, I have to tweet my teammate.
You have to tweet him.
It's just gotta be done, man. There's more important things that have to get done when I'm going to the bathroom. And dungeon run is not one of them. Not yet. One day. Specifically the day that they nerf Quest Rogue. I'll just do it for a meme. I'll just get it out of the way, and then I'll realize that by the time the next expansion comes out, I have like 10,000 gold. Because I never spend gold. And I'll be like, wow, I could have just did the dungeon runs in like 5 minutes and probably made $50 over the course of 3 or 4 months. Just passively without even thinking about it. Because I did have almost 10,000 gold going into the Boomsday. Like, I bought 80 packs with gold. That just goes to show you how much I play Hearthstone with almost zero quests. Like, I'm just getting gold by winning three games. Like, every three games you win, you get 10 gold. And it caps at 100 per day.
So you gotta love it when you get to that thing at the end of the day. And it's like, oh, you've already earned enough gold. You've already earned the gold amount for today.
Exactly. So assume every single week I earn 700 gold. So every month I get, like, I don't think every single day. So every month I get, like, 2,000 gold, right?
Sure.
This is just on, like, no quests. This is just purely...
just playing. Playing.
Yeah. So
you probably have that one quest go fairly quickly, right? The one that's in that spot that's not taken up by the dungeon run spots?
No, I never reset it. So if it's not something that can be completed, it just does not get... I don't know what it is. If it's, like, play... like, three priest games, it doesn't happen. Like, it might take me, weeks to get rid of that quest.
There was one time where I was exclusively playing Reno Lock, and I had all play priest card quests, and I completed the quest because the Kazakus potion counts as a priest card. So I got, like, it was like, play 30 priest cards. So they're expecting you to play priest? No, I played 30 games of Reno Warlock and got Kazakus, and that got me my quest done.
Man. That used to happen to me all the time. Now I'm never going to get my priest quest done. It's just not going to happen. It's just not. But... yeah, I should probably do those things at some point and get that free gold Because now that, the more I'm thinking about it, the more depressed I'm getting at the fact that I actually spend money when expansions come out. Like, I bought the $80, Draxxus pre-release thing. And I'm just like, in my head, I'm just thinking, man, I could have just had $80 worth of packs if I had just done the dungeon runs.
But would you have Mecha Draxxus?
I would not. I would just have 80 more packs, I guess. I don't know if that's worth it.
It might be worth it.
I don't know if that's worth it. I'll have to decide. If anybody's listening that wants to get Hearthstone coaching, hit me up, because I'm going to need more funds for the next set. Because at this rate, I'm not completing any quests, and I'm going to need to buy some packs.
Holding out until Quest Rogue is nerfed. And knowing you, you're not going to play on the day it's nerfed. You're going to play ladder.
I mean, maybe. We'll see. But yeah, we've been talking for a while. Do you have anything else that you wanted to talk about this week?
Yes. We're actually doing something for our wild team. We're doing essentially like a feature of all the wild personalities. We're having a bit of a tournament on September 8th. So that'll be cool. We're holding like a wild tournament for all the guys who like actually like are wild personalities. So people who like we all know. So it should be good. I think we're doing a 16-man bracket. So we're going to be streaming that. And we're doing that to fundraise our like thing that we did last time with One Trick. So I'm pretty excited to see if we can get some actual money for that tournament.
Nice. Maybe I'll play in it if it does well.
And you only need to get a finish once essentially on the wild ladder to be able to qualify for that, because it's essentially we're trying to shape it like HCT, where it's like if you get you get points based off of finishes, so like a top 25 finish will pretty much guarantee you a spot in.
Yeah,
and top 25 is fairly easy. Zalay accidentally qualified for it.
Admirable still rank one, by the way.
Is he still rank one? No way.
That's just
on what server? On NA?
NA.
Is he like actively playing it? Because there was one time where I was rank one for like 19 days straight, and I played like 3 times during that period. My MMR was just so good.
I really doubt that he has played, because whenever I'm on Hearthstone, he's always rank one wild, but he's never playing. So I don't know. I don't know what he's doing, and I don't know what he got rank one with. But now I'm curious. Like, I want to ask him.
He's got to be tweeting about this. Let me check this out.
I have not. Admirable. That's admirable. I think he's just casting, man. He's just doing a lot of. He's just been chilling. Like, I don't see anything. Like, it would... Oh, wait, see, it's August 13th. Still 1 in Wild, sitting at 134 in Standard. So that's, what, a week ago? That was the last time he tweeted about Wild. But he never said what he got rank 1 with, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like...
So wait, it was before BFA launches. What's BFA? Is that the WoW expansion?
Yeah. So he got rank 1 on August 6th. So...
Okay, so he's had it for at least 7 days.
He's had it since August 6th. Which is, 2 weeks, basically.
What was he playing?
He never... I just looked. I looked through, all his tweets. He is not... He never said what he played. That's,
So he was 6 going into Boomsday, so he probably played 3 games to get there. Maybe 3 to 5 games, so...
Yeah, but he never said what he played. That's in...
Yeah.
I gotta ask him.
Let's figure that one out.
Yeah, we'll have to. He's one of those... He tweets deck codes all the time without, a picture of the deck.
You have to. It's so easy when you have the Hearthstone deck tracker because you literally go over to copy an image, and then when you paste that in Twitter, like you copy the link to Imgur or whatever, and then it will bring the picture up for you automatically. It's so easy.
Man, I ain't trying to copy your deck code just to see what the deck is.
Yeah, show me the deck.
I just want to know what the deck is. I'm so lazy. What you mean? You see how many times I stream in a month, bro? It's not that many. But I'm trying. I've been streaming more lately. So, we'll see. But yeah, so you got that tournament coming up. The one trick tournament for Wild. What else is going on?
Not much. I'm being bogged down by work, but I'm trying to let the Hearthstone soothe that.
It's ironic. That is the opposite.
Yeah, it's the opposite for you.
But yeah, do you want to wrap up the show?
Yeah, sounds good for by me.
All right. Let me look. Yeah, it looks like that's it. We obviously don't have access to the emails or the patrons or anything like that because JR is not with us today. So hopefully next week we can get caught up on all that stuff. Do you want to just go right to shoutouts? Because, I mean, there's really not much we can do without JR in terms of the closing.
Yeah, let's head on out. Sure.
All right, got any shout-outs for this week, and where can we find you, Mr. Daniel of the Donuts?
Well, you can find me at DannyDonuts_HS, and my shout-out for the week goes to you for actually doing the podcast. So, yeah, we did the podcast this week.
Woo! And I just put out an episode, like, yesterday or something, I guess.
Yeah, that's what we gotta do. We gotta record like 10 of them and then just release them slowly.
And just happen to have like the ones we did a month ago just line up perfectly with what's going on with the week, like the Tatare podcast. Yeah, Questro's good.
Maybe it's us that made the meta this way because we released the Tatare podcast.
We manifested it.
So here's what we do. We need to make a podcast about something absurd, about Wisp Druid. We make Wisp Druid a thing. That's what we're going to do next, Ray.
That's not that, like, far-fetched. Token Druid's still a deck.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that. All right, Wisp Priest. I mean, they're running Stone Test Boar. That's kind of close. But Wisp Priest, we're doing a podcast on that, and then when it manifests it, we know that it's us.
Dude, I've heard people talk about, like, have you ever heard somebody talk about, like, how they believe in something so much that it, like, manifests itself? Like, I don't know, I feel like I hear crazy people say that stuff all the time.
Yeah, well, if you believe in something well enough, you'll strive to try and get it. So, maybe that's a thing. Maybe you're just believing in yourself more. Believe in the heart of the cards.
Nah, but this is something that, like, you can't physically affect. Like, it would be like me saying, I believe so hard that Drake will come to my house tomorrow, that it, like, happens. Like I can't affect it, and it will never happen, but, like...
Well, hey, don't say never. If you say that enough around enough people will get fed up with it, and then they'll call Drake, and they'll say, Drake, you better go to this guy's house.
He had cancer. He's dying.
And then Drake shows up at your house. Oh, my God, I believed it. No, everyone was just annoyed with you saying it so many times.
Oh, my God. Alright. Shout outs.
Well, on that note, yeah, how about you? What are your shout outs for the week, and how can everyone get in contact with you, Ray?
I don't know. Shout out to you for doing the podcast with me. Every time I mention doing the podcast with you, my mom's like, is his last name really Donuts? Like, she asks that. I swear, every single week she always asks me. She's like, there's no way his last name is Donuts. And I'm just like, yep.
You know, I might get it legally changed now. How about that? So it's actually Danny Donuts.
Oh, gosh. That'd be funny. But, yeah, and you can find me on twitch.tv/racy591 streaming every once in a blue moon. But more importantly, follow me on Twitter @PG_Racy, and I will Actually, I haven't tweeted when I go live on Twitch every single, like, the last, like, week that I, like, I streamed, like, 3 times and I just didn't tweet. I have no idea
why.
You
can have Twitch automatically do that for you, I think.
Nah, like, I feel like subconsciously I want less viewers, unless I'm ranked 100. Like, what?
That was one of the things that I used to do. I would only stream once I hit Legend and Wild, because no one wants to see a non-Legend Wild player.
Like, if I'm streaming and I'm, like, rank 500 trying to get to top 100, I just don't tweet it. But what, as soon as I hit 100, top 100 Legend, climbing to rank 1.
The tweet goes out.
And then, like, every...
What happens if you fall out? What happens when you're like, top 100 and then you fall out?
Just delete the tweet.
Delete the tweet?
Just delete the tweet. But as soon as I hit top 50, top 50 Legend player going for rank 1, top 25 Legend player going for rank 1... Win one game, gotta top 10 Legend player, going for rank 1, and then, so I haven't tweeted in a while about streaming.
Well, hopefully you'll get some high rank so everyone can start seeing your stream.
It's, like, sad, but it's also kind of funny, but it's true, and I feel like I'm not the only one.
No, there are definitely a lot of people who do that. I see that on my feed a lot. I see, wow, all these people are super high rank, and then I realize, oh, they're only tweeting when they're at that rank.
I mean, it's the same thing as, like, tweeting decklist, though. It's like, you're more likely, like, you're 100% tweeting a decklist if you get a high rank with it, but...
Sure, you're not doing it out of the blue.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna tweet a decklist that went 10-0 from, like, rank 1,000 to, like, rank 200. But, like, as soon as I win, like, 4 more games and get top 100... Definitely tweeting that.
So the window to do that closes after a week and a half after Boomsday comes out. Because people can tweet whatever once the expansion drops, right? After...
This is what you do. You change one card, put in like a unique quote-unquote card, win one game with it, and then you tweet it. So it's your deck. And then it's your deck. Dude, I got all the answers. I could teach a course.
We're gaming Twitter here. How to get internet points.
Literally, that's something. Like, I'm not that bad about it, but I've seen some people just tweet out decks that are just, like, absolutely ridiculous. Muzzy actually did that once. It might have been Chalky. Like, they tweeted a Pirate Warrior that didn't have Fiery War Axe or something, and everybody was like, oh my god. And then they did actually play one game with it and just got lucky to win. But, I don't know. I guess RDU also won a game on Rank 1 Legend with Whizbang.
Did you tweet out the deck list for that one?
Yeah, he was like, I got Rank 1 with Whizbang, or Fizzlebang. And everybody was like, oh my god, what? What is this? Like, you're god. Technically, he did win a game on Rank 1 Legend with it, but, like, if the stars align and the moon turns blue, anything can happen.
How bad does it have to feel to lose to the Rank 1 guy while he's playing a Whizzlebang deck?
What is it? Wonderful?
Yeah, the wonderful Whizbang?
No. Like, that's how the guy feels. It feels wonderful.
Oh, he feels wonderful?
That's how he feels. But how I feel right now is pretty tired because it's late here and I want to head to bed. So thank everybody for listening. This was episode 163 of the Well Met podcast. Peace out.
See y'all later.